Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, June 3rd, 2026. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. The cast keeps changing because Dave Biddle likes to sun himself in tropical locations. He cuts off all communication, drops off the grid. So I don't even get any help during this week. Had Steve Hellwagon on Monday to fill in my guys yesterday, and now look who it is. The one and only Pat Murphy is here. Pat, how are you, my good friend?
I'm good. How you doing, Dan?
Very well. Had to amp Pat's salary for the week. Bust up my salary cap. Pat is, shocker, a Los Angeles Rams fan and got a Myles Garrett tattoo overnight. Your thoughts on the big trade?
Yeah, as I've posted on the front row, and I had a nice conversation with Bill Kerlick yesterday about this trade. He called me to ask my thoughts on what's coming back to Cleveland. But look, I think ultimately, and I won't go too deep in this because I know not everyone is a Browns fan, but I think ultimately it's a good deal for both teams. They're on two different timelines, right? The Rams have to win now with Stafford and his degenerative back and Sean McVay potentially retiring every offseason. And they've got the talent to do it. The Browns obviously are on the other side of that. They're building. And so now you get a young defensive end who, let's be honest, he's no Myles Garrett, but I think Browns fans are really going to like Jared Verse. Ooh. When I saw the trade, I was a little disappointed, to be honest, that they couldn't figure out a way to keep Verse and get Garrett. But I think that's being a little selfish there. But yeah, he's his pressure rate is very similar to Garrett's. His sacks are not. He needs to get home more. But I think he can grow with this team. He was a really good leader for the Rams on a fairly young defense. So I think he can step into that role with the Browns. His personality is awesome. He's, you know, dancing on the field. He went to Philly in the playoffs a couple of years ago and was trash talking the fans and flipping them the bird before the game. And so I think Browns fans are going to really, really like what he gives. And then now you've got more draft compensation, whether you're going to use those picks or, you know, pile them in a trade to trade up if you need to get a quarterback or whatever it may be. So I think it may be 3 or 4 years before we can really analyze the Browns side of it. For the Rams side, look, they're just trying to load up and be as good as possible this season to try and come out with a Super Bowl trophy. So we'll see if they can do that. I think Sean McVay and Myles Garrett and the GM had a press conference yesterday, and Myles Garrett said, look, you still have to go win all these games, right? Like, this doesn't give us anything. So we'll see how it turns out at the end of the season.
They were already, the Rams, I believe, were already the betting favorite in Vegas before they made the trade. Here's the good news for the Browns. Jared Verse is from Dayton, Ohio, specifically Beaver Creek, the yep. home of Dave Biddle. So if that does not play well thematically with our show here, that's wonderful. Perhaps Dave's vacation and consulting with Jared spurred the trade. Nobody knows. Those Beaver Creek guys do tend to stick together. Them Beavers. All right. Let's talk about something a little more interesting, or perhaps not, to some, and that is Ohio State's jerseys. One thing it seems everybody can get fired up about is what jerseys Ohio State should be wearing each week. We all have our favorites. The modern era of football has come with, thanks maybe to Oregon, jerseys aplenty for everybody. It seems like one of the ways they squeeze the fans is to cut. Nah, that's not right. Nice to say. One of the ways they generate revenue is by mixing up the jerseys. And Ohio State does a great job. And let's be honest, the color scheme and the pageantry and everything, it can't be beat. We were just talking about what our favorite schemes are. But you did a deep dive onto this. You know it's a big deal when we're having stories written about stripes. You know it has an impact. So kind of educate us on why you did the story in the first place, the guys you talked to, and then at the end, everybody in the chat should do this as well. We need to decide what the best Ohio State jersey scheme is.
So, yeah, I got the opportunity to sit down with Kevin Reese, who is Ohio State's, let me get this title right, because they all have to have crazy titles, Assistant Athletic Director for Equipment Services. He can't just be the equipment manager like he would be on at most places. Kevin was awesome. They took me back. We went over, I met him at the Woody. It was actually interesting. We were supposed to meet at, I think, like 1, or we were supposed to meet at noon. He had to push back to 2:30. He got called into a recruiting meeting. And so I asked him, like, why are you in a recruiting meeting? And he's like, well, the first time any of these guys put on a jersey is when they're on these visits and they take those pictures that you then see on social media. And like, that was one of the things that kind of clicked with me of like, so he really touches all parts of this program. So we started talking and, you know, obviously they set up equipment for the guys. They ordered the equipment, which is a long process that takes, you know, somewhere from 2 years to 18 months. They're planning out ahead of time, sometimes even further, depending on what it is. So they do all that stuff with the, you know, all the gear that you see players, coaches, any staff wear. It comes from their group and they have it ready when everybody walks in the building. Kevin was telling me, you know, if there's a workout at 6:30 a.m. on whatever day, he's like, we've got to be here at 5:36 to have everything set up. And, you know, even if they're just lifting, like the guys need their shirts and they need their, you know, compression shorts and the socks, like that's all in his department. But on top of that, they are the ones going, he said he's already gone down to Austin to scout out everything ahead of the Texas game. So that's going to the stadium. And, you know, that's a stadium, obviously, they don't go to a lot. So checking out, okay, well, how are we going to set up the locker room? How the bench is going to be so everyone knows where their stuff is. Keep it as familiar as possible for the team. He sets up the hotel. So when the players arrive, all their stuff's there. Team-wise, obviously, they've got their bags. But they set up the meals, the meeting rooms. You know, usually there's like a ballroom or something that they'll use to do walkthroughs or if they have to find a space outside. Like that all falls under him and his team. And somebody's got to drive that giant semi-truck if you've ever watched them arrive down there. He said if it's within 3.5-4 hours, he'll ride on the truck. If not, he's flying because he's the head of the department, so he gets those perks. So it's really cool. There's this whole part of the WAC that I'd never been in before. I'd walked past the door. I'd just never seen it. Where they keep all this stuff and, you know, they can fix helmets. He was showing me like the face mask. If those get scratched or whatever, there's a place they can send them. He's like, you know, even the tiniest little nick, like we want to make sure we look the best we can. So, you know, they've got shelves and shelves. If you look in the story on Bucknuts, I've got some pictures of it, of just all sorts of stuff. And, you know, this all obviously stemmed from the announcement that the Buckeyes are bringing back the gray stripes, right? And I know a lot of people were excited about that. Kevin said it was intentional to sort of tease them in the spring game with some of those practice uniforms that they were wearing that had the stripes on them. He said they were refreshing their practice uniforms, so they figured they might as well get an updated look there. And then they brought it first with those black uniforms, the alternate that they will wear. He promised me that it would be a primetime game. So there will be a primetime game at some point this year. I think people will like that. And then it was, let's roll out the new, you know, they don't change that much other than the stripes, though there are some differences, some minor differences that he talked about. But the stripes were the big thing. And this is something that he said has really gone back to when he sort of first arrived in 2012. There was talk about what they were going to do for alternates in 2014. And as you guys know, those jerseys that they wore in the college football playoff and the run to the national championship had those stripes. And then after that, they discussed bringing them back full time. But Urban really liked the idea of, hey, we won in these. Let's keep these for special games. Let's, you know, let's make this a big feel type of thing. And so that's what they did. Eventually, Kevin was out at Nike and asked to see the facility where they build or where they put to, you know, sew together all the jerseys. And it is still, you know, sewing machines and whatnot. Now it's all computerized, but it's, you know, it's not a bunch of people sitting in a room anymore. No sweatshops, but it is still all stitched together and everything. And while he was there, he saw this like silver fabric that they were using on some NFL teams. It was a new thing they were doing. I think it was the Arizona Cardinals who first had it. But like, if you think about the Detroit Lions, they've got the silver sleeves. And so that kind of sparked the idea for him. And when they were talking about doing something different for 2026, originally it was going to be the what became the black alternates, but it was like, why don't we see if Nike will make this a full-time thing and see if we can bring this back. So he said it was about 13 years of work that led up to this debut. And you know, we'll see him this year on the field for the Buckeyes. I've been an advocate for bringing back the gray. I like it. I think the look, you know, I think it stands out when I look back at some of these older uniforms. Like when you were asking me about some of my favorites, like the first thing that comes to mind for me is like the Bobby Carpenter, AJ Hawk, like those linebackers and like that look with the, you know, the classic with the silver on the sleeves. I think this makes a lot of sense. I think Buckeye Nation has been clamoring for this for a long time. You know, why it took so long, I guess it was because Urban was about, you know, hey, let's have something special. And they did wear them a lot, to be fair. But I do think that this will refresh the look for the Buckeyes. I think it'll be fun. If you want to read the story, it's over on Bucknuts. In terms of my favorite of the, at least of the alternates that they've done recently, I think the Wisconsin game in 2013, wow, which was those throwbacks, you know, they had it was the black, white, red, like Carlos Hyde with the silver numbers, silver helmets. Like those are probably my favorite of the alternates. They did the white version the next or later that year against Michigan. So those are probably the ones that of these like recent alternate jerseys, those are probably the ones that I think of the most.
Yeah, everyone should weigh in here with what your favorites are. we had to go to the Google machine to find mine, which was the 2000, am I right about this? The 2010 Michigan game, the 1942 throwbacks with kind of the rounded letters and the red and stuff like that. I like the idea also of coming out in an alternate jersey and waxing somebody and then having, I think that's cool. I definitely think I like that. And I do get the traditionalists who, you know, college football has kind of been, not untouched, but there are still programs that are wearing basically the same looking jersey they were wearing in the 50s. Penn State comes to mind. Did he
Alabama.
Say anything about what the most popular Ohio State jersey is? Do you know what it is? I don't.
No, that's a good question. We did talk about like player reaction, and he said, you know, they get excited about a lot of the stuff. Obviously, it's free gear. But he said those alternate jerseys, he's like, especially the black ones, tend to really resonate with the players for whatever reason. But he also emphasized like that they don't want to become, you know, an Oregon or he didn't use those words.
Or Maryland.
Yeah. Right. They want to have some options. And he made it clear, like this black jersey this year, they're not calling it an alternate. It's just an option that they have. And they can also go with the all scarlet look. They can do all white like they've done. I think they did it at Iowa a handful of years ago when Iowa wore those black uniforms, a game that most people don't want to remember because of the outcome. I think they did it out at Oregon too. And that you can do, you know, anytime, you know, you just pick the combination. It's like high school, right? You ask the guys lead into game, what are we wearing this week? So he called it like options in the closet, as opposed to having alternate jerseys. Obviously, the home and away will remain the main, but they have different helmets they could use, things like that. But it won't become a thing where they do that all the time. They're not going to be Oregon. They're not going to be Maryland, like you said. They want to have the traditional Ohio State uniforms be what you think of when you watch Ohio State football. But when they want to, you know, have a blackout, or, you know, do something a little bit different to hype up a big moment, they have that option now, which I think not only the people behind it, but the players and the coaches and all that really like to at least know that that's there when big games come along.
I think NIL has now trumped this, but you'd be surprised how much uniforms and how you look has to do in recruiting. I know a guy who changed his commitment in basketball from Mississippi to Mississippi State at one point in time, a long time ago, because the uncle was given so much gear that he made him switch it. Now, times have changed. It's just a check, but it's a big deal. I mean, yeah. Oregon, you could kind of track their rise with the coolness factor. And I'm telling you, when they used to get recruited, when they became one of the power brokers, guys would say things like, oh, they have those cool, shiny helmets and stuff. It makes a difference. I don't know if it does anymore because now it's all about cash. Let's take some questions here. Steve, the all-white uniforms are the best. I accept that argument. Those are fire. Even, do you remember we went and played Texas one time at night and Texas had on the all-whites with the anything yeah. all-white, if you can pull it off. If you're kicking someone's butt wearing all-white, that's worth like 2 points extra.
Yeah, especially if you're playing on grass where the uniforms actually get dirty and it's like, oh, you can tell who's playing and who's not. That's always a good look.
The Tony Dorsett biographer, he used to, after he would never get the ball when he was a little kid, get home to his yard, rub his knees in the grass and go inside so his mom thought he actually played. So I've tried that trick.
There you go.
Let's see. Yeah, I think people, this is a good question. What program is actually more valuable to Nike, Ohio State or Oregon? Wow. I'm going to go default Oregon just because Uncle Phil runs the show over there, and I assume they're siphoning off that money. But make no mistake about it. Ohio State is the Clydesdale that pulls many along, whether it's Nike or television ratings. What's your vibe on that one?
Yeah, I would think it still is Ohio State. Like, you know, the Oregon brand is just not, you know, you don't see, or, you know, you might see people wearing Oregon, you know, because they went there. But like, I've been overseas and seen people in Ohio State stuff that yell OH and, you know, things like that. You don't see that everywhere. And I think that brand carries more weight. Plus, you know, just the long history between the two companies, you know, Ohio State and Nike. You know, I think if Ohio State were to pack up tomorrow and say we're going to Adidas, I think Nike would lose it. Obviously, Oregon can't do that because of the ownership and whatnot. But, you know, I do think that Ohio State, just the brand recognition is probably the most valuable, at least in college sports, to Nike.
Yeah, Uncle Phil, for sure. Last one. I'm partial to the unis of Oregon. Pretty slick. Yeah. One thing's for sure. We love jerseys. And as much as everyone said they love the traditionals, the other ones definitely tend to gather some interest. All right, let's take some questions here. One person had some advice for me that I wanted to address here. Did you see that? He might be talking to you, too. Dan, Chris over at Menace of Sports has found a treatment to stop hair loss. Contact him. That ain't happening, dog. I've been with the same woman since I was 21 years old. I got no need for that. You're getting the best version here. Once it started to go and I lost the white guy part, I just went straight back. So
yeah,
that's just not on the priority list right now. I can't see either. My hearing is going to, maybe I need more of a, I need a, more than just a hair follicle.
Overall change. Refresh.
I ain't going to, I got a buddy that went over to Turkey and then his head looked like someone's backyard for a while. No chance, Lance Ito, I'm doing that ever. like I said, you don't need to be handsome to do this job, thankfully. Otherwise, I would have been doing something else. All right, let's talk about this. I am fascinated by the angst surrounding Julian Sand. I may be the one promulgating this story now. We had a discussion about it after we got off the show yesterday. I don't get it. What am I missing? Seriously, because there are people talk about him like he's like, I don't want to be offensive here. I get the feeling that people put him on like on the same level as Kyle McCord when he was coming back. And then there's all this talk about Tavian St. Clair coming in. Look, no one's higher on Tavian St. Clair than me, a fine Dayton area native. But the idea that we have a problem at quarterback, I don't get it. Where do you think this stems from? Do you agree with it? Is it just off-season chatter? Did I miss something?
Yeah, I think the perception of Julian this offseason has been colored outside of Buckeye Nation, from a more national perspective, by the way the season ended, right? The last thing people remember is Julian getting sacked 10 times by Indiana and Miami. And, you know, his numbers were still good in those games, but he threw 3 interceptions to 2 touchdowns. It was sort of out of character from what you saw all season from Julian. And remember, because of the Buckeye schedule, people saw Julian saying, you know, if you're not watching the Buckeyes every week, you saw Julian saying against Texas, everyone watched that game. Ryan Day talked afterwards that they were kind of keeping him in check. They first start against that defense. And then you probably watched the Michigan game. Maybe you saw another Buckeye game here or there throughout the season, but you probably didn't tune into a lot because the schedule just wasn't great, right? Even the Penn State game that was supposed to be big, by that point, Penn State had fired their coach. Like, it wasn't a game. It wasn't a must-see game. And then people obviously watched the Big Ten championship game. They watched the College Football Playoff. That Miami game, if you remember, was a standalone game, its own day on New Year's Eve. So everyone's watching that game. You're not getting ready for other games or whatnot. So I think that's colored it a little bit. I think also these other quarterbacks coming back, you know, you got Dante Moore out at Oregon. You got Arch Manning, even CJ Carr at Notre Dame. Like, they're just kind of maybe sexier names because they didn't go to the NFL. And it's, you know, the Manning name obviously carries a lot of weight. We saw that all last offseason. I think people are falling into the same trap again, even though he is he proved to be a solid quarterback by the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, you look at the Heisman odds, I think Julian's 4th, despite being the only returning Heisman finalist. Now, as someone pointed out to me on social media recently, he did receive fewer first place votes than Rodriguez from Texas Tech, but still the only returning Heisman finalist. He went to New York. He did all that. He's played in some of the biggest games. Does he have to get better at some things? Absolutely. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Dan. It's the sort of, I don't want to say slander because I just don't think anyone's really talking about him. And I think that's problematic. And, you know, he'll have his chance to show a lot this year what kind of quarterback he is and kind of remind people of that. You know, I know yesterday this kind of came out because he wasn't on the College Football video game cover, which if you're Julian, you're probably fine with. But I do think, you know, you look at the players on that cover, Julian's in that category. He should definitely be at least discussed as one of these top players in college football. And I think for a lot of those reasons, he has just sort of been, like I said, neglected this offseason. And again, he'll have his chance to prove himself.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I just don't get it. And I understand people say, what did he do in the big games and such? I do understand that the interception he threw against Miami was devastating. I'm not sure how much that was his fault.
Sure.
If you go back and look, there may have been someone who didn't pick up a block on that play. I'm not sure if that's how it went down. I don't know the play call. And for as far as the cover, look, if Jeremiah and Julian aren't on it, they just went with their alternative approach. There's no one. They couldn't put Jeremiah on it again, I guess. You know what I mean? Because there's no one who's more of a household name in college football than Jeremiah. I don't see Dante Moore as some legendary player or Arch Manning as some generational player. I don't get it. Just because he's a little smaller. That's really what it comes back to, by the way, when you hear from the NFL. I think also now because this is what happened. Someone had a great comment. I want to make sure I get it in there. Don't take credit for it. There we go. LB Buckeye, shocker. I think the angst comes from everyone wanting him to a 2-year and done first round pick. There's nothing wrong with coming back for a third year. That's going to get tricky. A couple things. One, I don't think Julian will be coming back next year because I think he'll be headed off to the NFL in fine fashion. What do you make of the issue, though? And maybe this is because we went through the Kyle McCord situation. Now, keep in mind, Kyle went to Syracuse and is a Syracuse legend now and got a chance in the NFL. So I'm besmirching his talent. But I get the idea that Julian Sain is going to be replaced as the starting quarterback. That doesn't sound like it's based in reality to me. You?
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I think you're right. Look, I think if we're talking about a year from now, I think Julian, assuming he continues on the trajectory that he's been on. And look, Urban, because we were talking about him earlier. Ryan Day has only had two starting quarterbacks come back for a second year as a starter. Justin Fields, CJ Stroud. Go look at their numbers their second year. They improved. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, he's got Billy Fessler now too, who I think is probably not talked about enough in the quarterback world. So I think Julian, you know, look, it's going to be hard to statistically improve. I mean, you can obviously throw for some more yards and whatnot, but his completion percentage, all of that, given the schedule he's facing, I could see that come down a little bit. But if he can be better in the pocket when he's under pressure, better in those uncomfortable situations, use his legs a little bit, as I know Dave Biddle talks about all the time, I think there's room for him to be a better overall quarterback, even if his numbers are similar or even a little worse. You know, and like I said, you got week two at Texas. You're going out to USC. You're playing Oregon. You've got Michigan. You know, I'm forgetting some teams in there. But this is going to be a schedule that really tests Julian. We'll know halfway through the season, is this guy a Heisman Trophy finalist again? Is he one of the guys that, you know, can be that next quarterback coming out for Urban Meyer or Ryan Day? Excuse me. And again, I think this time next year, I agree. I think he will be headed to the NFL. Now, then they'll be breaking down his height and everything like that. But, you know, given that they do have Tavian and sort of waiting in the wings there, and I wrote about this a little earlier, you know, what happens if Julian does decide to come back? But ultimately, I think he will have the season he needs to go out and, you know, the quarterback room that Ohio State has produced, I think, you know, like receiver and some other positions, gives those guys a little benefit of the doubt when it comes to the NFL draft too.
We're also just amping the, and I guess this is just part and parcel of it, we're amping the pressure on Tavian St. Clair to come in as a first-year starter when he came from not the highest level of football. So, look, and I've said this, Dave, as we quote Dave constantly here, Dave does a great job of nicknames, and he nicknamed Kenyatta Jackson Central Casting, because if you were going to make a movie about a defensive end, it would look like that. Tavian's the quarterback. I mean, he's a strapping dude, has the arm, has the look, and there's no arguing this. Tavian St. Clair's upside is higher than Julian Sands. Tavian St. Clair's upside might be as high as any quarterback in the United States. Look at him. But that's upside. That means you hit every marker and everything goes right, blah, 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 blah. Much easier said than done. There are a lot of guys out there doing that. Now, I think I'm very confident that Tavian will be ready to roll. I actually think when we back out of this eventually, this is going to look like a well-oiled machine. The idea that Ryan Day doesn't know what he's doing with quarterbacks and how to slot them in and when to pull them in. Let's give the guy some credit, man. seriously, for that. I mean, this is, I don't know. Let's see. David Shannon, Underwood from Michigan will be the quarterback replaced during the season by one of the Cars. There is some angst coming out of Michigan about old Underwood. Can't say that bothers me much. Stuff from there. All right, Pat, last one. Let's talk about this. Do you believe, this is the question I want to ask you. What is the, and we'll finish with this. Pat, you've been elected president, czar of college football. What is the playoff format?
I'm fine with where we're at right now. Like, I don't understand. I've talked about this on 97.1 The Fan when I've been on. Like, I don't know why we need to change. You know, as soon as you get something, why, you know, this happened with the 14 playoff and now it took 10 years. I'm not, you know, could 16 work? Yeah, that was fine. I think the 12 has been fun. I mean, obviously it helps that Ohio State's been involved both years. It helps that, you know, they won the national championship the first year. But even just sitting back and watching those other games last year after Ohio State loses, like, I think it's enough teams that the quality, you know, you're not seeing blowouts and things like that for the most part. You're getting some decent games. I think you're getting the right teams in. I do think, you know, maybe the rankings could be done a little differently. Do you need a ranking show every week? For content purposes, it's great, right? We get things to write about. But I do think they set themselves up, like with Notre Dame last year, for failure. So I think that may be something I would change, where just put out rankings if you want, but don't have a press conference afterwards where everyone is asking you questions and now you end up saying things you have to stick to. But I like this current version. I don't think it needs to go to much bigger. I understand money and all that plays a part, but I like where we are right now. I would give it a 10-year window or so, like we had with the 14 playoff, to see what all actually works, what doesn't, and then kind of go from there. But I like this version. I think we've had competitive, fun postseason. And I think this is one of the biggest things that I would like to keep is make the regular season still matter. You know, I know Ohio State, and you know, if you win all but two games, you're probably going to be in. But for some teams, like, you need the regular season to be really good. That's what college football has always been. And I think if you go to this expanded playoff beyond what we're already at too much, you know, you're going to have four lost teams. Like, it, you know, with Ohio State's schedule this year, if you went to 24, you don't think the Buckeyes could lose three or four games and get in? I mean, that's good for the Buckeyes and good for us, but I don't think it's good for everyone wanting to watch games each week and whatnot. So I like where we are. I think it allows for some margin for error during the season. We've seen that obviously with the Buckeyes 2 years ago, but I still think it gets the best teams in and you get a really good competition at the end.
So when it comes to tournaments and anything like this, I like simple. I would literally seed it 1-16, put the home teams in the first round and just play it out like a regular tournament. That's what I like. My biggest problem with the process was they're like, here's the field, and here's the field, and we're putting in two donks at the end who don't deserve to get in. And then already you started the process chasing your tail, and then the whole argument came. It's like it was broken from the start. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a process, but two guys don't deserve to get in, and they're going to get in every year, and then fix the process. What are we doing? That's stupid. I hate that. All right. Mika, I promised we'd answer this question. Here we go. Thoughts on the renewed one-time transfer and proposed salary cap for NIL, Pat? I guess the idea is the 5 and 5. You get 5 years to play 5. Is this correct? With one transfer, no penalty involved. And then there'll be a salary cap for the NIL. It sounds good. The problem with all of these rules and stuff is I don't know how they're enforced. I need to know about the enforcement of the rules. What's the punishment and stuff like that? Because what ends up happening is people realize the punishment is not big enough to not go after things in a nefarious fashion. So I guess I don't mind it. Now, keep this in mind. The transfer portal has gone AWOL. I mean, it's nuts. Yeah, I know 3 years ago, more than half the starting quarterbacks in Division I had transferred. So that's wild. That was three years ago. So what is it now? I do not know, but I don't think it's going down. I guess I don't mind 5 years, 1 year to transfer. But here's what's going to happen. Do you think there's only going to be people playing 5 years? You don't think there's going to be people getting medical excuses or finding reasons to do that? Any system you put out there, it's going to get gerrymandered. Here's the good news at the end of it. No matter what system they put out there, Ohio State will be at the top of the food chain. This is what we know. We've gone through this now for what, the last 10 years has gotten goofy, and pretty sure the power rankings for most people have your Buckeyes at number one, and they finished the regular season undefeated last year. I get it. The playoffs didn't go great, but it's not like it's hurting the Buckeyes overall. Pat, you have the floor to finish.
Yeah, I think this is a good idea in theory. I think it's going to be tough to execute because you're going to get sued, you know, the NCAA or whoever is making these decisions, right? And that's the problem we have right now. You know, coaches want rules to be set, but then as soon as the rules are set, and it's not just coaches, but somebody appeals it, somebody takes it to court. Like, there is no right answer, and you've kind of let the genie out of the bottle, to use the expression, by kind of letting it get to this point. So what are you going to do if you want to have a salary cap? You're going to tell Jeremiah Smith, for instance, sorry, we can't pay you? Well, then he's hitting the transfer portal. You know, somebody will pay them, him. So I just think it's going to be really tough. I do like the 5 for 5. I'm curious how that's going to affect things like, what are we calling? Are we just calling them fifth year seniors? How are you going to label like records and things like that? Obviously, this happens in other sports. You know, the NFL, their records have now changed because they expanded to more games. But I do like that idea. You don't have to worry about red shirts anymore. You're definitely right, though. There will be medical guys or whatever that play longer. So I think that's interesting. And the one-time transfer, like, I don't know why that wasn't the anytime one-time transfer wasn't the rule from the beginning. Instead of just letting them transfer willy-nilly every year, that to me always made sense. Just it's you had the transfer rule already. Just take away that you have to be graduated. You get one time per college. And then I think coaches can set their rosters. Players know who are going to be their teammates for the most part, and you can go. But the salary cap for me, I think that's going to be the toughest one to enforce.
Once you introduce money to the level they have, keep this in mind, you can make more money playing in college football than you would have made in the NFL.
I just saw a thing the other day.
Not everybody. Like Jeremiah, he's the outlier. Quarterback outlier, but you could be like a decent player, a decent offensive lineman in the Big Ten and make what $1 million this year and not get drafted. So that makes sense. Both football and basketball have done this. The point guard of the Phoenix Suns last year made $750,000 or something small. And he played 82 games. The point guard at Baylor made $2 million and played 40 games and is a much worse player. Okay. So that's goofy. Here's what you're also going to start to see. There is a baseball player, I believe his name is Jordan Adams, who is now going back to SMU at 26 because he's got eligibility left. He's not going back there because he's getting paid zero. He's going back there because he's 26 years old, didn't make it in baseball, and can make what at SMU? A fine living. So once you do that, you're introduced – like. You're going to start to see more Europeans people come over to play college basketball. Hello, they're getting paid. If you're going to give me $1 million to be a senior at Pepperdine, or $500,000 to play in, you know, Russia, I'm going to Pepperdine, dude. I'm getting in the sun. So, the big thing in here is the money. Once you make the money the main thing, then every other rule, every other enforcement, every other intention kind of falls by the wayside. Thoughts?
Yep, I agree. I think it, you know, it's like I said, genie's out of the bottle. Yeah. It's going to be hard to put it all back. Yeah. So, I saw a thing the other day. There was an interview with Jeremiah on social media. Somebody asked, like, when you get drafted, what are you going to do with that money? And he said, put it in the bank. Like, I don't need that money. And right. Like, it's just, you know, some kids obviously grew up in homes where that's the case, you know, in the past, but most guys are getting to the NFL and it's like, oh my God, I finally got, you know, I can finally buy my mom a house. I can finally have a nicer car. You know, I can have a car at all for some kids.
Well, that's now college. And
yeah, absolutely. That's it. And so by the time they get to the NFL, it's like, we've already done this. And, you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying this is the reality we're in. And to change it is going to be really difficult. You know, even the 5 for 5, I remember as this rule's kind of coming out, this offseason, I was talking to some of the people during the college basketball transfer portal window at Ohio State, and they're talking about, well, we kind of have to earmark, like, what if this rule goes through and Bruce Thornton wants to come back? You know, what about Christoph Tilley? I know was a guy who was really interested in coming back if the rule went through early enough. And it's like, well, we're trying to build this new roster, but we don't know if these guys are going to be able to play or not. And so even that was kind of a mess. Now, I do think they've done a good job by kind of kicking the can down the road a little bit with this so that now, okay, you're past the point where these guys are going to be able to come back. And so I think once the rule goes in place, you'll be able to kind of start anew. But even that was going to have its problems. And I think once the rule does go through, will players sue the NCAA saying, hey, I should have that fifth year of eligibility? You know, it's like the Deshaun Thomas tweet a few weeks ago where he said he's coming back.
I want to clarify for people. You're saying people who never got the fifth year are going to come back.
Why would you not? If you know, look at how many people win in these lawsuits. And if you're not playing professionally, and like you said, the money's better if you could come back to college. Now, I think the Deshaun Thomas thing, you know, he's joking about 16 years later. But yeah, if Christoph Tilley doesn't find a job playing or professional basketball somewhere, he can't sue the NCAA to come back because now everybody gets a fifth year. I bet he would.
Yeah. It's all fun and love and war, guys. Here, like I said, the good thing is, I'll say in football, Ohio State has managed to stay at the top of the food chain. Basketball is truly just a goofy situation. Now, every year is 52 pickup from now on. You really can't, you can't plan 8 months in advance in basketball. You cannot. Whether that's the way it should be or an enjoyable place to coach anymore or be part, I don't know. But I'll tell you, there's just no way to know. I mean, I used to look at the transfer portal in basketball to see how strong your team was. And if you had more than four or five transfers, you kind of had an issue. There are 100 schools with 11 or more guys that transferred this year. It is complete. Every year is 52 pickup, and you kind of reset the scale. All right.
Wait, Dan, real quick. Brad Underwood, coach of Illinois, does not recruit high school players. Now, some of his staff still go out and do it. He is exclusively recruiting the transfer portal, and that's their focus at Illinois. They will, you know, obviously they take some high school kids. They had the kid last year who was a one and done.
And the funny thing is their guy found the most hidden gem of every college players. And by the way, where is he? He's leaving too. So
yeah.
But that's incredible. That's incredible. Like, and that's true. Patino and those guys, they are not looking at high school kids anymore. Which is going to be a challenge. I mean, we're asking Anthony Thompson to come in here at 17, 18 years old, compete against 22, 23 year olds and be the best player. It's going to be a challenge, but that's what we're here for. 23 seconds of free content, people. 40, 23. Appreciate Pat stopping by. Have a good one, Nutters of Buck.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?